Hello, this is Lori Power, and welcome to Talking Saints. I'm here today with my co-host, Peter Sanchez, reporter for the Catholic Star Herald. Hi, Pete. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful, Lori. How are you on this fine day?
Doing great. Doing great.
A great day to talk about. We're doing a kind of a double shot today.
Yes, absolutely.
One day, two saints.
I know, but it's unusual because these two saints share the same solemnity. So I think we can get away with this, Pete.
Now, can we? I think we might have talked about this before. Can we distinguish solemnities between solemnities? There's the days of obligation, and then the solemnities are in there as well. But they're a little more than a feast day, correct?
Correct, yes. So it's the highest level of celebration in terms of liturgy that we can have in the church.
So with these two individuals having a solemnity June 29th, I think we can say it points to their importance.
Absolutely.
They're kind of pillars of the faith.
Yes.
And I don't think we can exaggerate that. I think it's true. We're going to kind of... split this up a bit. I'm going to talk about one saint, and then Laura, you're going to...
I think we should tell them who we're talking about, Pete.
Oh, well, sorry about that, Lori. Further to keep you not in suspense anymore, we're talking about St. Peter, and who's the other one?
St. Paul, of course.
Paul. Yeah, two great saints.
And I was kind of wondering, like, why do we celebrate them together? So I looked into it, and really, as early as the year 258... there was a lengthy tradition already in place of celebrating both St. Peter and St. Paul on the same day. The two saints are sort of the founders together of the See of Rome, and it's really their preaching and their ministry and their martyrdom all happened there. So it's fitting that they would be celebrated and remembered together.
Yeah, they really are. They're very much... They, of course, lived. Well, St. Peter, we know about him. He was the first pope. Things believed, and he came to Jesus. Well, Jesus came to him. Furthermore, we know about him. He was a Galilean. He was a fisherman. His name was Simon. And he and his brother Andrew on Lake Gennesaret. I hope I did not just butcher that
name. Sounds right.
Lake Gennesaret. Jesus came to him and renamed him Cephas, which pretty much means rock or Peter. And as it's said in Scripture, Jesus said, "You are the rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." So already from the very beginning, Jesus kind of singled out Simon, now Peter. And Peter, not only is he interesting to me because I share his name, He was very much a man who, he was human, I think we can say. He loved the Lord. He desired to have that relationship with Jesus, but he kind of got in the way of himself a lot, where there's a lot of instances, well, I shouldn't say a lot, but there are instances in Scripture where pretty much we know about him from the four Gospels, the letters of Paul, and Peter's own letters. This is where we kind of get the information about St. Peter. But he was a man who he had times of doubt, and it's recorded that there was the time when Jesus ascended after Christ's ascension. It's the storm on the sea I believe that was after the ascension. Was that the storm on the Sea of Galilee?
When he calmed the storm?
Yeah.
No, that was while he was still alive before his death.
Okay. But, yeah. Well, I'm sorry. Thank you, Lori's the Bible. She's the scripture expert here. So what happened with the storm is Jesus was, Jesus was praying by himself in the hills, and the disciples were in a boat, and
he sent them ahead. Them ahead across the sea.
And they experienced some turbulence, some rough waves, and then they were afraid. And then they saw Jesus and he started walking towards them, and he started walking on the water, and he told them, "Courage, it's me. Have courage. Don't be afraid." And at that time, Peter desiring. He said, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you across the water. So Jesus beckoned him. Peter got out of the boat, and he started walking on water, on the surface of the waves during the storm. And the thing was, though, he got afraid, and he started sinking.
Mm-hmm. And took his eyes off Jesus.
Yes. He did. And Jesus grabbed him and said, oh, ye of little faith, why do you doubt? And I think that is such an analogy for my own life, to always keep my eyes on Jesus. Because even that split second, we can, it shows how much Peter and how much the disciples needed Jesus. And how I think that instance demonstrates how much is possible with faith. And then, of course, the famous, every Palm Sunday we talk about the Passion. And one of the stories is Peter denying Jesus three times. Well, before that even, an instance of Peter's passion and love for the Lord was with Gethsemane. When Jesus was praying in the garden, Judas led the Roman soldiers to take Jesus away to be crucified, and Peter saw what was happening. He took a sword and cut off, the guard of the high priest, somebody close to him, and Jesus said, wait a second, don't do that, Peter, and healed the man's ear for all that. And I think he kind of was telling Peter, okay, this is what has to happen. This is Absolutely. The salvation story. This is what has to be fulfilled. And later on, Peter, for fear, people were asking him.
What's quite striking about that, the denial, is prior to that, Christ had told them, you will deny me. Some of you will deny me. And Peter even said, I will not deny you, even if I have to die with you. So he made that proclamation that in his passion and his love for the Lord, which is, it's really striking when we see his denial just shortly after that.
Yeah. And then Peter, he at that time didn't want to suffer the Lord's. He was worried that he'd suffer, and he denied him three times. And then later, after Jesus' resurrection, it kind of was reversed. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Three times, kind of the reversal, trying to.
He got a chance to redeem himself there. Yeah.
And another interesting, it seemed very much after the resurrection, as many of the lives of the apostles were, Peter was transformed in the Lord, and he was convicted of the faith, and he was preaching. He became really like St. Paul. They're both apostles to Gentiles. And one of the things, another story that's interesting is when Peter was kidnapped by King Herod, and the scripture says he was sleeping, he was in the gate, and right he was in prison right before Herod was to try him, all of a sudden he was sleeping, and all of a sudden an angel came to him and said, get up. And the chains fell from Peter's hands, and the door opened to the cell, and he walked out. I mean, those kind of instances, and the Lord, he had a mission to fulfill. And what's interesting too, Lori, is that I think too, we have to stress Peter's approach, Peter's authority with the apostles. In the scriptures, it said that on Resurrection Sunday, when Jesus, Mary Magdalene was the first at the tomb, she saw that the tomb was empty. She went in. The first one she talked to was Peter. So Peter went there with another apostle, John. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And John got there first. They were both running, but John was a faster runner. Got there first, but did not enter the tomb. Let Peter do that. Right. And so it makes clear the hierarchy of Peter among the apostles, and he, after Judas' betrayal, he actually led the choice of the next disciple, Matthias, after him, and after Judas betrayed Jesus and took his own life. So when Peter, in the early 4th century, actually before then, he was, it's interesting, Lori, he was crucified upside down.
Right.
Because I think what I believe Peter didn't want to, he didn't want to die the same. He didn't feel worthy enough of being, so even then it was his humility. He didn't feel, he knew he should be a servant of the Lord.
Right.
And one of the things that he kept to, Jesus told him, first day he met him, he said, "Peter, put out your nets in the deep for a catch." And he was a fisherman, but Jesus said, "Well, you will be fishers of men."
Yes.
And that's exactly what happened. And what's interesting, Lori, in the early 4th century, the Emperor Constantine honored Peter, large basilica over the site of his burial on Vatican Hill. And then in 1950, human bones were discovered beneath the altar of St. Peter's Basilica.
Yes.
And they claimed to belong to Peter. And
it's interesting. I heard that they weren't exactly sure where he was buried, but the present day St. Peter's, the altar is perfectly above where they found those bones. So
yeah.
It's almost as if the Lord was guiding them as they were building that church.
And then just recently, about 5 years ago, Pope Francis, he revealed the relics of 9 bone fragments for the first time in public during a mass celebrated at St. Peter's Square.
What?
They were believed to be St. Peter. So he, and there's a few churches in our own diocese, St. Peter's Church in Merchantville, and well, St. Peter and Paul in Turnersville.
Yes.
So, Lori, let's move from the first pope to the apostle to the Gentiles.
Yes.
Who the main apostle to the Gentiles, Paul. So what can you tell us about St. Paul?
St. Paul had quite an interesting life. He was born in Tarsus, which is in the southeastern part of modern-day Turkey. He was born to a Jewish family. And what was important for Paul later in his life is that he was born a Roman citizen. So that will prove to be significant, especially later in his life. So his Jewish name was Saul, and was, of course, later changed to Paul. We see that in the Acts of the Apostles. Paul's family seemed to have come to Jerusalem when he was a boy, because he describes in Acts how he was brought up in the city. He was educated as a scribe of the Mosaic Law under the Rabbi Gamaliel, and we also hear about him in Acts of the Apostles. He also became a strict Pharisee, and he was a tent maker by trade. So he must have learned this profession sort of in parallel with his training in the law. That apparently was customary at the time that he was living. We also hear in the Acts of the Apostles that Saul had a role in the death of St. Stephen. We know that.
Yeah.
And it seems like, they were laying their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul. So it seems like it was maybe an indirect role based on that. But it becomes very clear that he was actually a driving force behind the persecution of Christians. So as a Pharisee, he sort of saw the Christians, those following the way, as sort of abandoning the true faith of Israel, and so went after them with very severe persecution. And we know that he was actually on his way to Damascus. He had gotten letters in order to go and arrest the Christians who were there. And along that way, Jesus actually appeared to him and really changed his life in that moment. So he saw a blinding light and actually was blinded after that, and was asked by Christ, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he responded, "Well, who is it that I'm persecuting?" And of course, Christ revealed that it's I. While he had never actually encountered Christ while he was alive on the road to Damascus, he encountered him there and was completely transformed by that encounter with Christ. So he went on to Damascus, and he was still blind, so they were sort of leading him. Those he was traveling with led him there, and he encountered another disciple who was sent by God, who was probably hesitant at first because Saul was, like, people knew him as one who was persecuting Christians. So you'd have to question, why would I go to him, Lord? You know, he's someone, he's trying to kill us. But did see that he was changed by that encounter with Christ.
Hear a lot about the sometimes, Lord, the Damascus moment.
Yes.
That kind of, you know, how that's kind of become in maybe in like a Catholic lingo or Christian lingo, you know, that it's the great a great conversion.
Yes.
And St. Paul really, and so he was converted and he began writing, preaching. He walked.
Interesting. Yes. Well, he actually he took some time, as he describes it, in Arabia, which is probably the desert area in South Palestine, before going to Damascus. So, just as Christ had that 40 days in the desert before he went out to begin his public mission, it appears that Paul also took that time before he went to Damascus. And he actually had to be, he angered the Jews who were there in Damascus and had to be lowered over the wall in a basket to escape the city. So right from the beginning, he was sort of facing that same persecution that he had led prior to this. But yes, he ultimately escaped Damascus. He went to Jerusalem, and of course, he was no infamous there. And it was only through Barnabas introducing him to the Christians there that he was accepted by them. And it does even talk about meeting Peter and staying with him for about 15 days. So we know that they actually were together at some point in his life. So, and then of course, he began his great missionary journeys really all over the world, and in particular to the Gentiles. It was revealed to him both by Christ and by those who came to him after that was to be his particular mission, to bring the good news not only to the chosen people of God, but to all people, to the ends of the earth. So, and he suffered for it, certainly. He even writes about that in his letters, the whippings and being imprisoned and almost stoned. And yet he persevered through all of that.
He was very prolific.
Absolutely.
Writing. And yes. There's his letter to the Corinthians, to the Romans, to the Ephesians.
Yes. So and of the 27 books in the New Testament, 13 are attributed to Paul. And then, of course, about half of the Acts of the Apostles describes his life and his work. So he's a major figure for early Christianity, certainly.
And one of the things with St. Paul I love, I actually have a mug that I have. I can't remember exactly where it's from, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yeah,
that is one of the things. And then there's one, it's about, if I can find it, he talks about running the race. And how as Christians we have to
run so as to win.
Yes. And that is something I think about, you know, in my own life. We have to remember that. We've talked in these Talking Saints shows with other saints, we've talked a lot about conversion. And I think even with both of these saints, Saints Peter and Paul, we can see the way God transformed their lives. And through... Mm-hmm. You know, St. Peter was called, and they were both called in different ways. I mean, one was a fisherman, the other. I think St. Paul's is more stark, Lori, because he seemed to, he was persecuting Christians, and then, like, Jesus just came down and blinded him, and has kind of gave him new eyes.
Absolutely.
New eyes to,
yes.
You know, the old eyes were... we're not seeing the goodness of the Lord.
Yes.
And if we can say that. And I think it's, there's so much, the Pope, I think, has spoken in our Diocese of Camden, has talked a lot about missionary discipleship lately.
Yes.
And I think these two saints, St. Peter and St. Paul, are perfect models. I know, do you remember, there was a year of St. Paul?
Yeah.
Some years ago. Were you here for that?
I'm not sure. I don't.
Okay. Well, I remember going to a few talks and some parishes and hearing of the life of St. Paul and his missionary work. He was well-traveled. I mean, he probably walked or took, at that time, horseback or camel. What was the mode of transportation?
I'm not sure. I imagine walking, maybe.
A lot of blisters, probably, yeah. For St. Paul. I mean, he really, I think, that is a lot of time and for many years. And to be convicted of the gospel to, you hear, and you just saw a movie called The Apostle of Christ, right?
Yes. So just came out right before Easter, and it is a beautiful film. And it actually covers a point in his life that is not really addressed in the Acts of the Apostles or in his letters. So it looks actually at the end of his life, which I did not mention. So he was actually imprisoned in Rome at the very end of his life. And we believe he was beheaded by Nero in around, I think, 65 AD, around then, we're not sure. But it's interesting, because he was a Roman citizen, he was not crucified. He was beheaded because they would not crucify a Roman citizen. So that's also how he ended up in Rome. When he had been arrested, he appealed to go to the emperor, and that's how he ended up there, which is very significant with Rome being our see.
So he appealed to the emperor, but then the emperor he was hoping for to not be beheaded.
I would imagine.
Yeah, no, of course.
Well, that wasn't immediate. I think initially he was treated a little bit better. We read in Acts that he was able to, Christians of Rome were able to come to him. He was still writing. So really, we should probably talk about that. So his letters, so he would go on missionary journeys and establish churches. And then the letters he was writing, what we have in the New Testament, the epistles, are letters to those churches that he established. And particularly when there was a question that needed to be addressed or a controversy that came up, that's why he was writing particularly to them. And that's what we have now attributed to Paul. And something that's ubiquitous throughout his letters is the language of faith. So it's used over and over and over again. He's talking about faith. And it seems that more times than not, it's not just an assent to believing in something, but actually putting one's entire confidence and trust in Christ. That's sort of the faith that he is propounding when he's writing these letters. So certainly a message we can certainly take to heart today.
Yeah.
But the movie was beautiful. I won't spoil it. Well, the ending.
No.
But there is a beautiful ending to the film that I think makes it worth going to see. So if you haven't seen it yet.
And is with, not Jesus Christ, but Jim Caviezel, who plays Jesus Christ.
He actually plays Luke,
the
evangelist, the author of the gospel.
Yeah, and I think that's that's on my list, and I hope it's on all of yours.
Yes.
So I'm saying, and I think there's I don't know if there's any movies on St. Peter.
There is. There's one with Omar Sharif, I believe, a little bit older. I don't know if it's quite lengthy. I don't know that I've seen all of it, but.
And I think we didn't mention, Lori, the ages of these men. They were pretty. They were older when they were called.
I'm not sure, actually.
No, I mean, well, you always see St. Peter depicted as an older man.
And, yes, that's true.
And I remember distinctly on All Saints Day at my grade school, dressing up like St. Peter. I had the white beard,
and
I had the Pope hat on, and I had my parents made me cardboard keys to the kingdom.
Nice.
So,
you gotta have the keys. That's how you know you're Peter, right? Jesus gave him the keys to the kingdom.
And what was it? Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Mm-hmm. Whatever you bound and bound on earth will be bound in heaven.
Yes.
And even now, what is the papacy? Is the chair of St. Peter.
Yes.
They call it, right? So that's the direct line, the bishops and, well, no, not with the Pope, right? The Pope, the direct line from Peter.
Mm-hmm.
So all the, both two historical figures, and I think it's appropriate they share the same day because they're kind of fathers, Can we say they're fathers of the church, Lori? Or is that distinction that...
I don't know. Well, they're apostles, so I think that's apostles. Even higher than
even yeah, better.
Fathers. Yeah.
Apostles of the church. Well, is there any can you close us with the
sure,
blessing,
I
want
to close us with the words of St. Peter. What do you think? So this is from first letter of Peter, chapter 4, verse 8 to 11. Above all, let your love for one another be intense, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. As each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever preaches, let it be with the words of God. Whoever serves, let it be with the strength that God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Saints Peter and Paul,
pray for us.